The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
Thanks for being with us. Good Monday. Off we go into another week. We will have Jody Jackson, Jody Jackson's Gems, brought to you by E.D. Marshall Jewelers. Jody and I will chop it up on the Cardinals' victory. There's really no excuse for them to not make the playoffs now. They're going into the softer part of their schedule. Or is it just teams that they played early are going to be better when they play them again? Aaron Rodgers is coming to town, also because Jody does the Diamondbacks pre and post. We're going to talk about Christian Walker and whether or not we will see him back in a Diamondback uniform next season. The general manager's meetings in Major League Baseball start this week in San Antonio, so we have plenty to get to with Jody. John Wilner, Wilner Hotline. I got to believe there's a coaching change coming at Penn State. And tomorrow night is the first round of the CFP. If you didn't know, tomorrow there's like some alternative programming to the college football playoff. The alternative programming will be on every other network except ESPN, which decided, hey, on election day, we're going to say, because I will be interested to see what the ratings number is for people on the CFP side versus election. And a lot of people are just like, yeah, whatever with the election, and I want to know about my college football playoff team. And there's intrigue and drama around some of these teams. Where do you put Indiana? Where do you put someone like Army or SMU? Is Boise a lock? Does the Big 12 deserve more than one team at this point? Outside where BYU is undefeated right now, where would Colorado fit into that mix? I am one of those conspiracy theorists that do believe there was a grassy knoll, that do believe that if you're going to have the college football playoff, you're going to find a way to shoehorn in Notre Dame, even though they lost to Northern Illinois. You are going to try to find a way to get Deion Sanders in there. Are you kidding me? Deion Sanders? That's TV gold. That someone's going to get screwed. It's going to happen. But tomorrow night's the first unveiling of the CFP and their rankings. So we'll talk with John Wilner about that. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business, as always and through the years. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate Jeff Mishi and their ongoing support. I had kind of a meh weekend. I was just doing, like, I actually did honeydews. I don't know, like cleaning a grill while watching football just wasn't on my bingo card growing up, but that's what I ended up doing. And we hung out, and Friday night I went and stormed a couple high school sidelines. Saturday with the ASU game, it took a lot of my afternoon, although Saturday watching the disaster that is going on in Tucson, like utter disaster, utter chaos. And then just college football in general, the Penn State decisions, they have a new offensive coordinator everybody's excited about, and they run into the line three times. Like, you're just like, why Penn State never beats anybody that's good. Yesterday, watching the Cardinal game, I did not go yesterday. If I would have said to you, look, the Cardinals are going to beat the Bears, and they're going to do it. James Conner is going to have over 100 yards, but he's not going to score one rushing touchdown. No, it's going to be DeMarcado, it's going to be Benson. You'd be like, what? Huh? How? And that's what it was. Like 213 yards rushing against any NFL team is an absolute beatdown. The Bears stink, okay? The Bears stink. And so the Cardinals did what they're supposed to do against a team that stinks. The Cardinals looked competent. The Cardinals look like a team that should be going to the playoffs. I can call it today. They should be in the playoffs this year. You can't completely fall apart here over the remaining portion of your schedule. I understand you still have games on the road, and I get it, you still have games in the NFC, but if you can't find a way to eke out some victories, and they have, they found a way to eke out wins. Miami, a perfect example. Like yesterday, to get Kyler out of the game, I don't know what the Bears are thinking, leaving Caleb Williams out there. That was borderline fireable. What are you doing? You're going nowhere. This game is over. And he gets hurt. He gets dinged up. But I think it's just the defense, and we'll talk with Jody about this, the defense, without having their first-round pick out there, with having guys that are not household names, the offensive line has kept Kyler clean – They open big holes. They gash the Bears over and over and over. And I get it, the Bears stink. Caleb Williams, pretty darn good player, but that was a sword fight with a piece of spaghetti if you're the Bears against the Cardinals. And usually, those of us that have been here longer than a nanosecond know that usually it's the Cardinals that are on the other side of the beatdown. But there is something different that is going on with the organization, with the general manager, with the head coach. We very seldom, if at all, hear from the owner, which is fine by me. No reason to. And they just go out and they take care of business. Is this a mirage? Is it same old Cardinals? They are my Cardinals today on this Monday versus your Cardinals whenever they lose. So, and they have the Jets next. The Jets stink. Okay, they do. And we'll talk with Jody right around the corner on that front. Today is the opening of college basketball. Friday, it was announced that GCU is leaving a conference that they never got to. Like all the craziness that is going on in college athletics of bouncing conference to conference, this one made total sense to me when I understood. And I had said to some, I think I actually said here, I don't believe that they will ever make it to the West Coast Conference. I thought the Pac-12 would try to swoop in on them. Instead, it's the Mountain West. Jerry's very close to the president. Brian Mueller's very close to the president of the Mountain West Conference. And so Jerry's also very close to Stu Jackson, who runs the WCC. So when it came out Friday that they jumped over to the Mountain West, so they're going to be in the WAC this year. For a moment, they're in the West Coast, and then they're going to be in the Mountain West. I have to believe the television contract is going to be ungodly that GCU is getting because they're bringing in the biggest TV market. They want to be Gonzaga. They've said they want to be Gonzaga. They're actually Gonzaga. Joel Embiid is in town tonight. It's interesting. He confronted a reporter who wrote a column, and he shoved the reporter because the reporter used stuff about his family, Embiid's family, a family member that's deceased, and a brother. And actually, I think that if you are going to write something like that and you show up and the player has a limit, it's kind of like watching Jason Kelce. He likes being a public figure, and people like to walk up with cell phones and do their thing. And so he'll pay a small pittance, but I'm in his corner all day long for idiocy like that. I'm actually fine with Joel Embiid. It's easy to always say, just turn and walk away. But if it's family members, and is this another step towards the end of Joel Embiid in Philadelphia? And they get Paul George back tonight. I'll be really interested. The game is in downtown Phoenix about how the Sixers play. It's a late tip tonight, too. And as mentioned, the general managers' meetings of Major League Baseball this week with Christian Walker and what do the Diamondbacks do there? They announced they're bringing Merrill Kelly back. How far is Ken going to go on his payroll? And really, the whole issue with the Diamondbacks this offseason is the stadium issue. It's not even about putting a roster together. It is for the fans, but behind the scenes, everything I'm hearing is Derek and team are all focused on how are they going to handle the stadium situation. The mayor of Portland just pushed through a way that they're going to go after a sporting team. Salt Lake City already took a hockey team from us. Nashville's going to be sitting out there. There's going to be leverage. Just saying. There's going to be leverage. All right, Jody Jackson is next, followed by John Wilner. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now it's time for Jody's Gems. Jody Jackson, brought to you by E.D. Marshall Jewelers. We appreciate E.D. Marshall Jewelers and their support. All right, are they a playoff team? Are the Cardinals a playoff team? I want you to call it here the first week of November, or is it, I don't know.
I'm going to go. They're a playoff team. I am, Brad. I'm feeling good about it. They're at the top of the division. The division's all bunched up. We know that. So a lot can happen. But the Cardinals got through the toughest part of their schedule in the first, I guess, not eight, nine games. So the Bears were a great example of that. Watching that game, they hadn't really been tested. So you're trying to figure out what kind of a Bears team is this? Well, they had beaten some teams that were pretty poor. Carolina was in that group. I mean, It's not always about strength of schedule, but if you come prepared for every game and you give that effort for every game, and if some of these opponents are not going to be quite as tough as, I mean, they had, look, they beat the Niners. I mean, they beat the Rams already in this first nine. You feel pretty good about it. And just seeing the way that they were able to take advantage of the Bears in so many areas where they were just flat out better than the Bears in the trenches. That was impressive to me, and I think they're building something here. This could be a pretty exciting year. This team, I think we knew they were going to be better, but how much better were they going to be? I think they might be a little bit ahead of schedule.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I would say they're a playoff team. I am one of those that subscribes to the theory it's when you do play a team, and that teams in September and October don't look necessarily the same as they do in late November, December, have the same intensity, whatever. I think the 49ers are one of those teams. I'm one of those that believes Christian McCaffrey could have played the last couple of weeks just based on what I'm hearing. But they're saying, you know what? These games just really aren't as important as at the end of the year. You just need to make it into the postseason. So there's a little bit of doubt. Then there's these are the Cardinals. These are my Cardinals. They're winning games. They're taking care of business. They have Aaron Rodgers next week. That's a team they should beat. They should flat beat the Jets this coming Sunday. So I can't help but get myself into a space that I'm very rarely in, Jody, when it comes to the Cardinals. I know this. And how about you?
Yeah, I mean, I've covered the Cardinals for a very long time, and I've seen, in the beginning when I got here in 2000, there were some really, bad seasons, and then we've all been through, as Cardinal fans, those of us who have been around, let's say, almost 25 years, and some people have been living it since they came to, to town in 88. I mean, people that are from Arizona, and it's been hard, and then the Super Bowl was very exciting. I think a lot of the successes have been tied to the Kurt Warner era, the Carson Palmer era. And so now it's Kyler Murray's turn. And unlike those guys who came in pretty quickly and turned things around, even though I'll never forget Kurt's first game, which was horrible. But, then if you would have told me then what we know now about what Kurt did for this franchise. So Kyler Murray, it's been building. They drafted him, they brought him along. It was a totally different scenario. And so, can they reach that kind of a can you reach that kind of an exciting place where you're in the playoffs making a run with Kyler Murray? And I think what we're learning is yes. And I think it's a lot of it is due to Kyler's drive and motivation to be that guy. I think he really wants it. And it's not always that simple, but we know the talent that he has. And I think what the coaches know is that he needs help. He needs a run game. He needs a defense. This defense has been very surprising, Brad. And so I think there's a lot that fans can rally around to your question. There's a lot that Cardinals fans are seeing right now that they see as more sustainable than things that were happening maybe in the past.
Jody Jackson, Jody Jackson's Gems, brought to you by E.D. Marshall Jewelers. We appreciate E.D. Marshall Jewelers and having Jody with us each and every week. I'll take it a step further, Jody. I think this is the front end of something. You look at teams and you'll say, okay, this roster is built for now. This roster is built for, they got a 2 or 3 year shelf life. If I had told you in Sunday's game the Cardinals are going to score 3 rushing touchdowns, and oh, by the way, James Conner didn't do one of them, you wouldn't have believed me. There's some depth. Okay, I looked at this roster through the years, and it's usually a 1 through 35, 40 roster that's pretty good or okay or is going to get by, and then the bottom end is forget it. They've even this year, they're one of their first round picks, hadn't done much of anything this season because of injury. And yet, here they are, as you pointed out accurately, the defense was solid on Sunday. So I look at it and say sustainable young players. I look at the trajectory of a guy like Zaven Collins in year one. Oh, I don't know. Well, now he's out there doing it every week. So is it a front end? Am I making too much out of this?
I mean, I think so because what you're pointing to is they do want to build through the draft. I mean, they want to build through the draft because, and every team does, but
Sure.
Monty Ossenfort wants to prove. And I think we saw some of those players last year. I mean, this year it's under a little bit more scrutiny because of the injury. But, you look at Max Melton, you see what he's doing. Garrett Williams from last year, this secondary right now is becoming a strength. I mean, they did a really good job yesterday. Now they need to continue doing that. But I like this group. And so when you can build through the draft, I think it is the front end of something for sure. But then on the other hand, Brad, we want to just stay in the moment, right? So, but when you can do that, It's like you see things about to go to baseball, and now we have to deal with this. Is this the beginning of a Dodgers dynasty? And I'm kind of thinking to myself, like, I know they haven't won the World Series except for 2020, but they've kind of felt like a dynasty anyway because they spend more money than everyone else. And to their credit, though, they did it this year through tremendous adversity and injuries. And they did have Shohei Ohtani, though, hitting the ball all season long. So for just taking it back to football, it's like, it's not the same dynamic with the money, because we all know it, there's a cap and there's all the, but it is similar to, hey, do we want to make moves that will build for now and for the future? And I think it's clear that the Cardinals, that's their plan.
No, I agree with that, but I would also tell you back on Kyler, I think that he has come into his own this season. It looks like, he's going about his business. The bad body language does rear its ugly head on occasion. I don't think you're ever going to get that out of any player. There's times I look at Devin Booker and it's like, that was a foul, dude. What are you doing? It's not worth all of the contortioning of the body and sour face. You fouled him. Same thing with Kyler. It's just it's turn the page, go on to the next play. But I guess I look at it and say the way that the roster is built, and I feel like there's a sense of competence, okay? And I look at the NFC West and say, this looks like a young roster that, yeah, there's some age, Buda Baker's Kyler Murray, James Conner, but it looks like a division that could have a set up for a while. That's my only point. Sure, there's competence in San Francisco. There's competence in Seattle. LA's had competence and won the championship. This organization has been none of those at times. And now I feel like, you know what? I think they're figuring it out.
I think what it is, you look at the teams in the NFC West, and as you see the Niners, especially without Christian McCaffrey, and you say, I mean, you know that they are beatable because the Cardinals did it. They beat the Niners, they beat the Rams. You watch Matt Stafford, though, this past Sunday. I mean, this guy, the quarterback play in the league in general has been very tough to watch at times, but Matthew Stafford is terrific. I think Brock Purdy is really good. So, look, it's not, that's again going back to my point that it can't be all on Kyler. That's not going to be the right recipe for this team to get into the playoffs and make a run. It's got to be, and that's no disrespect to him. It's just the fact that they need the running game around him. And then I think he is every bit as capable as those guys of winning a playoff game. It's going to take everybody. And I think yesterday was a day where, look, they had, as much as the Bears defense was terrible stopping the run, they were not able to do it. They were physically manhandled. And the running backs did a really good job. Connor, as you mentioned, didn't get in the end zone, but he had over 100 yards. He had the most yards of the running backs. And Trey Benson got in there. We saw Trey McBride carrying the ball and getting in there. And then DeMarcado with the amazing, surprise attack before the half on a beautifully blocked play. DeMarcado, the best thing he did was just not hesitate and run as fast as he could down the field. So that was just, again, a beautiful job by the coaches and by Drew Petzing. And they practiced that all week long, and it actually worked to perfection in the game. But, when you think about Kyler Murray, and I think that maturity, again, it goes back to that drive that I see in his eyes, that this is a year, and it probably does have to do with coming back from the injury, but this is a year that he's looking at it and says, I want to win. I want to get to the playoffs. I want to win a playoff game. That's what he hasn't done. As great as that front end of the 2021 season was, the rest of it was terrible. And then it ended with that horrible playoff game. So I think for him, he wants to get back and show people, I can get in and I can win a playoff game.
All right, so we just have to get the 800-pound gorilla out of the corner into the middle of this. If they don't make the playoffs this year after this start, it's awful. Okay, I'm just going to lay it out here in the first week of November. There's no excuse. As you accurately pointed out, they're playing the easy part of their schedule is the rest of the year. And let's just get into the Jets. Jets. Are you an Aaron Rodgers fan? What are you looking forward to seeing on Sunday?
I'm a fan of the arm talent. I'm a fan of, what he's done in the league, what he's been able to do. But, the personality is different for sure. I mean, it's not his, he went to the Jets because it was an organization where he could exert his influence. And that's what he wants to do. And that's what he's done. You've had the coach fired. You've had Devontae Adams brought in. You've had a lot of these moves that And we've seen in the past that when teams hand over the keys to a player, it usually does not work. So the only thing I'll say is you pointed out, Brad, it's when you play teams. I mean, they did get a win, which can kind of patch over the rough area, the nail in the wall. You can kind of just smooth that over with that W and everything looks like it's fine, So I don't know. They have had the extra time. Look, you're right. The Jet, they should beat the Jets. They really should. If you look at the roster up and down, if you Aaron Rodgers, we can go through, and I kind of did it a little bit on the Cardinals radio post game, talked about 2010 when the wild card game when Aaron Rodgers was sacked and the fumble and Carlos Dansby made the big play and Money Mike Adams and all great moments in Cardinal history because Aaron Rodgers would throw for 400 yards and have Hail Marys and then 2015, same scenario. He connects on these unbelievable plays, and then the Cardinals found a way to win in the most crucial moments. 2015 being Carson Palmer and Larry Fitzgerald coming up with the heroics late in the game. So there's a lot of nostalgia there when I think of Aaron Rodgers coming in to this stadium. But then, of course, the last time he was in was 2021. So some bad vibes there, as we all know that was the AJ Green didn't turn around game, and all of that. But when it comes down to it, the 2024 version of the Jets and Aaron Rodgers is a team that I think the Cardinals feel that they should beat because there are great players on the field each and every week. And it doesn't mean that the team necessarily is going to win. And Aaron Rodgers has done a lot in this league. He's also, as we all know, if you're asking me game plan wise, he's not very mobile. Caleb Williams is greatest. I mean, this kid has all the talent. They were chasing him around, they did a good job of making it hard on him. But most notably, they covered those receivers. They blanketed those receivers. So I think the best way to stop Aaron Rodgers, because he's immobile, but is to just continue to cover downfield the way that they did. And of course, you hope the pass rush gets home as it did six times against the Bears.
Okay, before I get you out of here, Jody Jackson, Jody's Gems, ED Marshall Jewelers, we appreciate their support. I'm going to turn the page over. It's general managers meetings this week in San Antonio in Major League Baseball. Do you believe Christian Walker will be back with the Diamondbacks?
Well, this is the hot topic that I've been getting yesterday. It's funny, I was getting asked about this a lot, and because it's heating
As you
up now.
know, you know, you're there. Well,
Well,
I
I
don't
mean,
know,
it
but your
really
opinion
depends.
matters.
I'm not going to be able to give you a definitive answer, Brad. I know you want one, but it really depends on what the market is for Christian Walker. Our team's going to see. We all what we see, what we know about Christian Walker. This is a guy that hits 30 plus homers a year.
Gold
If he's
glove winner.
healthy, what's that?
Gold glove winner.
Oh yeah, I'm getting to that part, but just the bat. I mean, the bat is something that when he's healthy, you're going to get the power, Gold Glover, and a quiet team leader, like a guy that's great in the clubhouse. That I think I don't know if other teams really know that or not, and maybe that's just because he's also been in the Diamondbacks clubhouse, which is where he fits very well as one of those leaders. So what's the market for him? What teams are going to come after him, and how much are they going to want to dump at the feet of Christian Walker? And it's a great, and Mike Hazen and Troy Lovello talked about this. He's earned that.
Yeah,
Do
sure.
they want to keep him? I think absolutely yes. I don't think there's anything that would they want him, but it's all about the financial. What makes sense for this team financially, and it really depends on who's going to want Christian Walker and want to pay him, and what that amount looks like. So, am I as a person that's in that clubhouse all the time and sees the dynamic with Christian, and I would love for them to work this out for some way that Christian is able to they're able to come to a number that makes sense for both. I just don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, Zach Gallen's going to get paid a big number if they want to keep him here. He's going to go out on the free agent market. Someone will go after him, not this year, but it's coming. The contracts that are coming, Ketel Marte's deal is probably one you should tear up and rework now. I think he's outlived that contract. You look at these young outfielders that are going to come of age. They control them for now, but if you're playing your catcher, if you're looking at positions on this team, it's not fantasy baseball in Arizona. It is in LA. Like the Yankees aren't bringing Rizzo back. If I'm Christian Walker and my agent says, hey, we should go meet with the Yankees, I probably need to go take that meeting, right? Because he's going to check every last box, and he's going to have a big market team come after him with all the money. But I think it's the family sense that maybe you can speak to more than I can, because you are in that clubhouse. Guys can go deserve, and they've earned the opportunity to go be on the open market. But is there enough pull for him to say, you know what, they have a pretty good situation here in Arizona, a really good situation here in Arizona. I want to start and finish here.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great question. You know, it's funny when you see, you know, these guys, their families, their wives, their young kids, some of them, you know, and they're a great group. They all love each other, but it is the business. And as much as, you know, I'll hear wives talking about how much they hope it works out or what, I'm not speaking to Christian. I didn't talk to Christian's wife, but you know, that cohesiveness, it is a draw. It is something where people do, these guys love what they have. And as much as this year ended in, you know, disappointment, they went to the World Series. And then there's also the allure of going somewhere else, I suppose. I mean, as much as you love an organization, you can also say, well, what is it like on the other side? What do they do over there? You know, so I don't really know. But I know at the end of the day, these guys have to take care of their families. And it does come down to, you know, the getting a contract that really makes sense. So I'm just not sure what's going to happen. I really hope he's back. But I also know that we've seen it happen time and time again, and you just have to accept it if he's not.
Yeah, it's a limited window for these players, too. People are saying, what do you mean? They're just signing for this big number, that big number. It's a limited window. They have to do it while they still
can. It really is. And Christian is older than, you know, he came up. That's what the cool story is, just that regardless if he stays or leaves, if he leaves, you still love that the Cardinal or the Diamondbacks believed in him.
Sure.
The Diamondbacks plucked him off of waivers, and then he made himself into this great player, and that's really awesome. And even if it ends with him being with another team, it's still a very special relationship that the organization and Christian Walker have that was building through all these years. And replacing a guy like Paul Goldschmidt, who no one thought back then that Christian Walker would be able to fill his shoes, and he's done it really nicely and really well in all the categories.
I appreciate you as always. You drop great stuff. It's always pleasant and pleasurable. Sometimes we yell and scream. No, we don't. But it's good. Not today. Thanks, Jody.
Thanks, Brad.
And we're back with more after this timeout. And now it is time to talk all things college football. Actually, you can talk some college basketball, too, because the season starts today. John Wilner, knows all, tells all, nationally syndicated columnist, a big part of what we do here at Sports 360 AZ. We appreciate him coming on each and every week. Okay, college football playoff is going to be released tomorrow night, the first round of rankings. Where is the biggest controversy coming from, Mr. Wilner?
I mean, there's a lot of potential there. How many teams will the SEC and Big Ten have in the top 12? Where will the number two teams in the ACC and Big 12 be? Notre Dame is a big source, because Notre Dame can only get in the playoff as an at-large. If they do, that's going to take away a spot that could otherwise go to one of the main conferences. Where will Boise State be? I'm very interested to see if Boise State is in the top 12. And if so, where will they be positioned? So a lot of intrigue. Indiana, I think a lot of people are watching to see where Indiana is. Undefeated. They have blasted all their opponents, but they haven't played the toughest schedule. Will they be top 5 or 6? Will they be closer to 10, 11? There's a lot of intrigue because it's so new. And to remind your viewers, the rankings and the playoff seeding are two different things. Mm-hmm. What we're getting tomorrow and every Tuesday through the rest of the month is the rankings. But from there, there's a process that they create the seeds. And so the number two team in the rankings or three team in the rankings would not necessarily be the number two or three seed, because the seeds are based primarily on conference champions, whereas the rankings are just the best 25 teams.
So if it's like Army, for instance, Army sitting out there, John.
Well, undefeated.
I mean, you have to look at that, right? You have to look at SMU and say, where are they? right?
Where are they? Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Boise, Army, SMU. My guess is Army is going to be closer to 20 than 10. Boise State will be closer to 10 than 20. SMU probably in the 10 to 15 range. They're pretty good, but Miami will be the highest ranked ACC team. I would imagine Brigham Young will be the highest ranked Big 12 team there because they're undefeated as well. But, you know, where the second teams in those leagues are, it's going to be real interesting.
Can you make an argument that the Big 12 deserves more than one team right now? Because I look at the Big 12 and say, well, it's really interesting, but Kansas State gets beat by Houston.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Arizona State saying they're still alive in all this to be one of those teams, but are they really as strong as, say, the LSUs that are going to be sitting there as a fourth team from the SEC?
Yeah.
Can you make that argument, John?
That's going to be one of the big questions, too, is what priority is the committee going to give to the SEC and Big Ten teams that have multiple losses versus the ACC and Big 12 teams that have, say, one loss, like Pitt, for instance, one loss in the ACC, SMU, one loss in the ACC, Colorado, two losses, Big 12, Iowa State, one loss, Big 12. It will be very interesting to see. And the backdrop to all this is the committee's essentially acting under threat because the Big 10 and SEC commissioners have made no bones about the fact that they're watching closely to see how their teams are treated, and they are going to expect to get three or four teams in the playoff field because they are in stronger leagues. They're playing tougher schedules. And if this whole thing unfolds and on December, I think it's the 7th, the SEC and Big Ten feel like they've been slighted, that will push us much closer to them totally changing the format in future years. So there's that backdrop to this whole thing.
More controversy Tuesday night. The CFP or the presidential election. Both are happening Tuesday night. I think the answer is obvious. It's going to be the CFP. No, I'm just kidding.
The CFP, undaunted, and ESPN, undaunted by the election, are coming out on Tuesday. I mean, it's 30 minutes of good programming for ESPN. That's the reason they do it. I mean, otherwise, it doesn't make any sense for them to do it. I would say this, though. I view Tuesday night nationally as not election day, but voting day. I think we're going to get to midnight Tuesday not knowing who the president is. We will get to 5:30 Mountain Time, 4:30 Pacific Time. We'll know what the rankings are going to be. There won't be that won't push beyond the expected time frame.
John Woolner with us for a couple of minutes, talking all things college football. Let's put the CFP over to the side. Now that we're into November, you look at a team like Oregon and say, self, they look like the best team in the nation, even better than Georgia, who just can't seem to get themselves on track. Carson Beckett, quarterback for the Bulldogs, has been all over the roadmap. You don't know what you're getting from one week to the next. Agree, disagree?
Oregon looks like the best team because they're beating well, they had the one-point game against Ohio State, which is a great win, and they're beating everybody else badly. I agree they do look like the best team. But I view Georgia as being bored. When Georgia's playing Florida, Kentucky, I think they struggled with Mississippi State. I just think part of it is boredom with Georgia. When they feel threatened, they dominate. They dominated Texas. They dominated Clemson. They took control against Florida late. They have another gear, and often they wait until the last second before hitting that gear. But if I were betting on who's going to be the last team standing in January, I would bet on Georgia. We'll see how some of these other teams do in terms of playing better in November than they did in October. I do wonder if Oregon is closer to its peak than, say, Ohio State is, or maybe a Texas, for instance. That's certainly something you have to think about. You don't want to be playing your best in October, early November. You want to be playing your best late November and then into the playoff.
Okay, so under that, guys, do you believe that Colorado is a team headed in the right directory? We were all over Dion and things over his run at Colorado. It feels like Dion this, Dion that, the reporter that he confronted, players leaving, turnstile. Through all that, John, is it time to give Deion Sanders and Colorado their flowers?
It certainly seems like his plan is working. I think a lot of it has to do with his new defensive coordinator. They are playing much better on that side of the ball, I think, than most people expected. They've got Warren Sapp as their defensive line coach, and he's clearly making an impact. They are very good. They have the best player, arguably the best player in college football, in Travis Hunter, and they have one of the top two or three quarterbacks in Shedeur Sanders. They are playing in a conference that doesn't have elite teams. So there's no game, there's no instance where they go out there and they are completely outclassed. I think they've got a real chance to get in the Big 12 championship because they have two losses, but only one in the Big 12. And if you look at their remaining schedule, they could easily win out. I think their game, they've got to play Utah still. That'll be difficult, I would imagine. But they could win out and finish 10-2 overall, play in the Big 12 championship. And I mean, how big would that be for ESPN if Colorado made the playoff? I mean, a ratings bonanza. They would probably get the in the opening round, they'd probably get the well, they would be a conference champion, so they wouldn't play in the opening round. Most likely they'd play in the quarter, they'd get a bye into the quarterfinals, they'd be playing on New Year's Day. You figure they'd get a prime spot. Ratings are through the roof. ESPN ecstatic.
I liked how you said that Dion in Colorado could have a prime time slot, John. That was well played on your part. But to your point, see, I think that the committee, forget about what week one looks like. I believe the committee is saying we have to deliver a ratings number to big advertisers. Thus, Colorado's got to be in there. Thus, Notre Dame's got to be in there. I could even make an argument that Army would be a ratings bonanza to have one of the service academies in there. It's a different space for Army because you're talking about Boise and you're talking about some of the others. But I think that television plays a huge role. They'll say, oh, no. I don't buy that for a minute.
I don't either. I totally agree with you with Notre Dame, which is why Notre Dame is a lock at 11-1 to get an at-large bid. Possibly could get in at 10-2. We'll see. Colorado's situation is different because there's one of two outcomes for the Buffs. Either they win the Big 12 championship, in which case they get an automatic bid, or they lose at some point along the way, and then they have three losses. And I don't think they can justify, as much as ESPN would love to see it, I don't think the committee could justify three or four loss Colorado getting an at-large bid. The SEC and Big Ten would go bananas. And that's, as much as the ratings loom over this process, so does that threat from the SEC and Big Ten that they're going to take their ball and go make their own rules if they don't get what they want.
Okay, one other thing before I get you out of here, and this is into the coaching front. Are we to assume that because of what has happened at Penn State, more likely or less likely there'll be a coaching change? More likely, less likely, coaching change.
At Penn State, particular?
Yes.
I think
They can't beat anybody who's good, John.
they can't, and it's the same problem every year. I mean, that was the worst goal line, the three runs into the middle and then a bad play when everybody knew they were going to throw it. It was the worst goal line strategy I've seen in a long time. Given the circumstances, given what has happened in the past, you could make the case James Franklin should be fired for the goal line performance alone, much less all the losses to Ohio State and Michigan over the years. I think that there's actually a decent chance, and I wouldn't have said it, but the running with the fans, it seems like things are escalating there. I don't think it's, I wouldn't say it's more than 50-50, but I think it's on the radar. And I wouldn't have said that before what happened Saturday at the end of the game and then after the game. He is, you can tell the situation is getting untenable there. And I think the fans are finally done. That goal, I mean, that was just terrible. They've got a new offensive coordinator, and yet that was a goal line stand that the 1950s would have been embarrassed by.
Okay, because of what is happening in Michigan this year, they're terrible. If Ryan Day and the Buckeyes lose to Michigan this year, he's dead man walking, right?
That Ryan Day, if they lose to Michigan, he's going to get fired. Now, when would he get fired? Because they could lose to Michigan and still make the playoff. I don't think they'd make a change before the playoff. And then, of course, they run the risk. What if Ohio State wins a national championship? But I think that if they do lose to Michigan, there's an excellent chance he will get fired when their season ends. They spent all this money getting all these transfers, all this money on their NIL. Michigan is, they can't throw the ball. They're a 1950s passing offense. They got four losses. They might have another one before they play Ohio State. If the Buckeyes lose that game, I think Day will get fired. I mean, they just look like he looks like he is under immense pressure every second of the day because he is. Because he is.
I'll let you go off that. Good stuff as always. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Brett.
It's John Wilner, and we're back with more after this timeout.